Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's President and CEO, Tansley Stern, podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Nakiso Studio Lounge interviews brought to you by PSCU Co-op Solutions, Trisend, Envisant, Typhoon, Bonafide, CU Healthcare Pay Card, and CU Next Gen. Everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the 2024 Nakiso Network here in beautiful Orlando, Florida. And look who is in the studio lounge, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Lou Grilli from PSCU Co-op Solutions. How are you, sir?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on again. How long has it been?
Maybe a couple of days, it seems like.
Uh-huh.
So we were just at the member forum.
Yep.
Literally 3 or 4 days ago. So yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for that last interview, and thank you for this interview in advance.
Yeah.
Always enjoy having you in here.
The reason why I wanted to come talk to you today.
Please.
And I feel that open banking is not being given enough attention. It's an important topic, and so I appreciate the ability to talk to your audience just to help get the word out, because it's important.
Well, I heard a lot about it, and I think we all heard a lot about it last year, but this year I haven't heard very much about it. And so when you came up to me, actually at Member Forum, and said, hey, let's do another one on open banking, I'm like, yes, please, because haven't heard much about it. I'm sure other folks maybe they have heard about it, but I haven't seen very much come across my desk this year. So thank you for this. So I want to start out with, what is open banking? Because I think that's open for interpretation. So according
absolutely.
To Lou Grilli, what is open banking?
There's really two facets to open banking. The first is a member being able to share the member's banking data.
Right.
Banking data. It's not the credit union's data. It
right.
is the member's data.
Right.
It's being housed, used by the credit
okay.
union with a fintech, with an app, through a programmatic interface, through an API. That
mm-hmm.
part's important.
Mm-hmm.
So it's controlled. A good example is you come across, you have this, your favorite fintech, your favorite app that is able to aggregate your total financial picture. So it pulls in your shared draft balance, maybe your transactions, your credit card balance,
mm-hmm,
those transactions,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe your 401k from a different financial institution. Maybe you went during the pandemic and bought a CD at another bank.
Yeah.
And so be able to pull all that in and see, you know, what's your picture look like right now? What have you been spending on in the past month? Budgeting for next year, depending on what the app allows you to do.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
your data. You should be allowed to share that, and you should be allowed to turn off sharing. If you just go and delete the app, that's not going to stop the sharing from continuing. You need to have some way of doing that.
Okay.
And that brings me to the second part of open banking. API access, the financial institution, credit unions, providing API access so that data can be shared with the requestor, fintechs, apps,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
a user interface. A way for you to go in and say, yes, I give permission for this specific data, maybe just my balances, not my transactions.
Right, right.
And for how long you want to give that access for.
Okay.
And when you want to shut it off, there's all the people, apps, that you've given permission to share your data with,
mm-hmm.
and you can see, and then I'm not using that anymore. I want to turn this one off, that control through user interface. That's kind of at a high level.
Okay.
Two aspects of open banking.
Pardon my ignorance, Lou Grilli, but okay, what are the pros and cons of that? Of somebody allowing, a member allowing a fintech to share my data? I think we've been groomed not to share our data based on what's been happening out there. And there's like a commercial that Apple has for their mobile stuff where they can turn off everything and nobody can access anything anymore or no sharing. So what are some pros and cons here as far as sharing that data, or a member allowing a third party to basically have their data?
There are apps out there that rely on, and they're doing it today. There's a lot
they're
of fintechs and apps are already accessing your data. They're just not doing it through APIs.
Okay.
Open banking, I think the belief is widely held that open banking is beneficial to the user. It is a safe way and a controlled way of sharing data. You don't have to share any data.
Right.
And now you have that control
mm-hmm.
over who, how long. So the pro of open banking is it's better than screen scraping. Let's come back to screen scraping.
Oh, yeah.
The con is if that entity that you're sharing data with is not on the up and up, is not legit.
Yes.
You may not know what they're doing, but open banking at least gets us one step better in that there's an entity in the middle that's vetting these fintechs to make sure that they are not reselling your data without your permission, without your knowledge even.
Okay, that's comforting.
Yeah, so there is data sharing's been going on for a long time, mm-hmm. just not through APIs and not with some manner of control.
And not the individual giving that permission, right?
The individual is giving permission indirectly. So you go to the fintech, and this is screen scraping, mm-hmm. which is what's been done for years and years, and it kind of works. You go, you provide your credentials, your username and password, to some app, and that app logs in to your credit union banking account on your behalf. Mm-hmm. It also has set up or mapped where to go to get your balances, where to go to get your transactions, and that kind of works. And it will go and get your, if you have a brokerage account, an IRA someplace, your 401k, other, you have stuff at another financial institution. You'll repeat that process. You'll provide this app your username and password. No, you're not supposed to be sharing your username and password. So one of the pros of open banking is it eliminates the need for screen scraping. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And screen scraping is just that. The app has your credentials. It logs in mm-hmm. On your behalf. It figures out, it already knows, kind of mapped out how to get that information, and it scrapes. It's kind of a funny analogy, but it scrapes the information and brings it back.
Right, right.
The problem with screen scraping is when you change your banking password every month, which of course we all do.
Of course, Lou.
Then
of course.
That breaks that access because now it's relying on your username and password and you just change your password. When this doesn't happen as frequently as monthly, but when the financial institution updates their website, updates their online banking, and moves things around, mm-hmm. Or you know, moves menu items up or down, that also breaks that access. So screen scraping is not... It's not a good way of sharing this data.
Sure.
API access, programmatic access, eliminates that.
Okay. So isn't data sharing being done today? I think we already answered that.
Yep.
So, yeah. So why is this a topic that credit unions need to hear about? Again, I think it goes back to what we were saying before.
Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head by saying, last year we heard a lot about it.
Yeah.
Because the CFPB last year proposed rulemaking. The rule is it's called the personal financial data rights. Mm-hmm. Personal financial data rights, sorry. And it's commonly referred to as 1033. Mm-hmm. And 1033 refers to the section of the Dodd-Frank Act, which provides the authority for the CFPB to mandate open banking.
Mm-hmm.
The proposed rulemaking came out, and that's when there was some attention being given to this. There was a comment period at the very end of the year. And now we're waiting. The CFPB is reading over those comments, taking all the input in. It could potentially become rule as early as this summer, more likely to the end of the year, but everything points to the fact that this will become a rule. This will become a mandate for every financial institution mm-hmm. in the U.S. Mm-hmm. to implement open banking, API
wow.
access. And when the rule does come out, the clock starts ticking. The biggest banks have 6 months to comply. The next the next set of financial institutions, mm-hmm. tiered by asset mm-hmm. size, have 1 year, and we'll have to see what it looks like for the remainder of the financial institutions, the smaller ones, community banks and credit unions primarily, and how long they have. But the clock starts ticking as soon as that rule comes out. And it does. There was an exemption process in the proposed rulemaking. We'll have to see if it stays and if it gets expanded
mm-hmm.
or not.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much every financial institution is on the hook for providing this API access.
Wow, that's seems pretty invasive.
There was PSU responded. The advocacy groups, America's Credit Union, ICBA, all responded that everybody agrees open banking is good. But nobody's against open banking. A mandate that's kind of a one-size-fits-all, even though we know that when it comes to financial institutions, there are, over 900 credit unions that are under 100 million in assets. Mm. There are many credit unions under 1 million in assets.
Yeah.
This is potentially a big burden for them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because I was going to ask you about the pros and cons of that as well, but you just explained it. So it seems... I'm trying to read this question. The last question, Lou. I might have to edit this part out, but it says, if time for another question, if it seems interesting, is there a way to make this is there a way to make this a win for a credit union? Or can you make lemonade out of this lemon?
I'm glad you asked that.
Okay, good.
Because There are some financial institutions, typically the larger ones, who are already doing something like that. So I mentioned early on the example is you want, there's some fintech that does a decent job of looking at your total financial picture, maybe use it for budgeting or figuring out what you spent your money on this past month.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why the financial institution cannot provide that same capability, and some of them are starting to do now. So now, picture this, instead of the credit union being a data provider, mm-hmm. which that's the minimum that they need to do in order to be compliant, but they could also be a data recipient. They can be the ones pulling in data from other sources and aggregating that and then presenting you your total financial picture.
I can see that.
Here's a great example of that I've already seen that makes lemonade out of lemons. You go to your credit union and you want to get a mortgage.
Sure.
And you have to go and collect, let's assume you do have stuff scattered around. You mm-hmm. have to collect bank information from if you have an account someplace else mm-hmm. and if you have your paycheck, your direct deposit going to someplace mm-hmm. else, you're going to make printouts of that. Let's say you have substantial Bitcoin holdings and you get to import that.
Okay.
Best case is you're collecting all of those statements and then you're emailing PDFs to your loan officer, or worst case is you're printing all these things out and then carrying them into the mm-hmm. branch in mm-hmm. order to get this loan approved. Wouldn't it be way better if the credit union could use open banking as a recipient with your permission
mm-hmm.
and pull in this information through APIs? And this information then would be more accurate, and it's also more timely. It's as of when it's being pulled and can be refreshed at any time. So this results in more better quality loans, faster disbursement, which means happier member.
Right.
So yes, there's examples of financial institutions doing just that.
So is the credit union getting this information, or is the member getting this information and bring it to the credit union? So, because I think there's a big difference there, because obviously the member is taking that time to get this information from all these disparate organizations and bring it and collecting it and bring it into the credit union, whether it's digital or hard copy. So in this case, it sounds like the credit union is actually going out and getting it.
The member initiates it.
Okay,
and the
member
has to, and now in this case, the member has to give permission to the
and then they
that
go
data
do that.
Source.
Oh, I'm all in on that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I think that's great. Saving me the headache of going to all those different places and doing that type of stuff?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh my gosh, sign me up.
Now you still have to go to all those different places to get permission.
I'm fine with that.
Yep.
I'm fine with that.
But not give your username and password in a whole bunch of
places. No. Yeah, I get that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Now that is a positive experience. That's a positive member experience right there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I'll buy 20 houses if that's the case. Not that I can do that, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's worth the end of the conference, getting a little punchy. But
what else
do we need to know about open banking, Lou, as we venture into the second half of 2024?
I don't want any credit union to be caught surprised that this is happening. I want to get the word out that now is the time to start planning. We don't know. Don't wait until the final rule comes out when it does, which is very likely and more likely end of the year. You can go back and look at what the proposed rulemaking is just to get some concept mm-hmm. as to what will be in it. And now is the time to start planning. On the good news, talk to your digital banking provider is the advice that I give to every credit union. Most of the major digital banking providers already are working on this or already have APIs mm-hmm. Developed, and the token that's issued to enable that exchange of information without having a username and password. If your digital banking provider is not geared up for that, possibly a discussion with your core provider,
mm-hmm.
Because some core providers are also doing that same, those two things, the API access, and then you also need that user interface, and
mm-hmm.
those are the two
mm-hmm.
big things that you need to worry about. But it's time to start having those conversations even before the rule comes out.
Yeah, indeed. Well said, sir. Well said. It's always good to be proactive in this area.
Exactly.
Whether you're
going
to do it or not. So yeah, good stuff. Anything else to add to wrap up?
Nope.
All right, Lou. As usual, it's been quite the education, quite the adventure, but always always insightful. So yeah, thank you so much, man. Appreciate the time.
Yep.
Everybody, Lou Grilli, PSCU Co-op Solutions, giving us the 411 on open banking.
Nakiso Studio Lounge interviews brought to you by PSCU Co-op Solutions, Tricen, and Visint, Typhoon, Bonafide, CU Healthcare Pay Card, and CU NextGen. quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stearns, podcast, Despite Impossible.